Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland. That'll be because we'll be in Oxford, Mississippi, taking on the Ole Miss Rebels. Hey, Scott, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. Good morning, guys.
What time are you guys rolling out today?
We'll leave at noon today.
Okay. Heading out at noon. Are y'all going to get a workout in over at the stadium tonight?
Yeah, we'll practice at Ole Miss tonight. The guys will get a lift in after we practice, and then we'll have a late meal at the hotel after we get in the weight room.
Gotcha. Well, congratulations. Big win on Tuesday against the Clemson Tigers, getting the season sweep against them. And just love how that played out. Had the big first inning, and then the four guys that pitched for you combining on a four-hitter. Great job.
Well, yeah, it really worked out well. Will Proctor did his part. Didn't start out very good. You know, you go to the leadoff guy, you go 0-2, and then give up a 500-foot home run on an 0-2 pitch right down the middle. It didn't start off very good, but to Will's credit, he took a breath, settled in, and gave us four innings. And going into it, we were hoping at least for two innings and maybe three. And then when we had that 6-1 lead, we decided to put him out there. He was throwing the ball good. And he hadn't gone that far pitch count wise, but we decided to see if we could stretch him one more inning, and he went out there and probably threw his best inning in the fourth. So, like you said, all the guys, Losey came in and was really good. Kevin Smith got a couple outs, and Kristofak struck out four in a row. So, from the pitching side, I don't think it could have gone any better.
Yeah, it went great. It certainly did. And what's up with these? Now, I wanted to ask you, too. All right, so Adam Sasser hits an opposite field home run. We've seen Keegan McGovern hit, I think, three of those this year. What's been going on with some of these guys, especially these lefties, that have kind of maybe figured out that going the other way isn't always the worst thing in the world?
Well, I think, first of all, you're seeing these guys get stronger. I mean, that's number one. Number two is, I mean, they're smart hitters. They realize that pitchers are a little bit fearful of, you know, them and their pull power. So they're throwing a lot of fastballs away. And, you know, Travis Maher for Clemson throwing 92, 93 miles an hour. The wind was blowing a little bit out to left field. And Adam just put a really good swing on an elevated fastball that was out over the plate. So, you know, I think it's a combination of things. But, you know, more than anything, I think those guys being smart hitters, recognizing what they're getting, looking for pitches out over the plate, and just being disciplined enough to let the ball travel a little bit further and hit it the other way.
Talking with Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland.
Now, Coach, over the years, and I guess this is more of a fun question for you here. Over the years, you've coached a lot of baseball, been around a lot of baseball, and we had I'm not even going to call it a scoring issue, but we had a parent kind of asking about or wanting us to determine the play that Cam Shepard ended up getting an error on. A Clemson parent wasn't too happy we didn't give his kid a hit. You know, yeah, with that kind of stuff, you know, I'm sure that you get you've heard the tales of parents over the years, and Dave was telling us that Coach Polk used to say at certain times that, you know, you have more parents than fans. But when you're dealing with stuff like that, I mean, just sometimes it's just so crazy you have the reactions like that.
Well, if they were complaining about the error that Cam got on Tuesday, that was an error. Every once in a while, a play will come up where you kind of question whether it's a hit or an error. I'm not questioning that one, so you know, sorry he didn't get a hit. That's all I can say. But yeah, it's stats really don't mean a whole lot when it comes down to it. It's can you play? Can you get your job done? It's funny with my son. He's 13 years old, and you know, there's a lot of parents at that age group that worry about their son's batting average when they're 13. It doesn't mean anything. I just want to let everybody know it doesn't mean anything. So just take a breath, relax, enjoy the game, and try to be a fan and not a parent when you're watching the game. It's tough to do because I'm a parent watching my son play, but sit back, be a fan, and not a parent.
I remember Coach Hack telling me one time about you know, he gets a lot of people send him videos and stuff of their sons, and they have all these stats and everything of their golf, you know, their juniors. And he's like, yeah. I just look at their golf swing for about 5 minutes. I can tell if I'm going to recruit him or not. I don't need to see all that other stuff. You're the same way. You can look at a guy and pretty much tell whether he's somebody that's recruitable, right?
Yeah, you can pretty much, you know, one throw, one swing for the most part. You can tell whether or not I need to watch more or just erase it. So, yeah, it's not hard to see. And you know, my wife will ask me, hey, when you go out, how did you know? And I go, well, honey, if you went out and recruited, you would know too. A guy that can play at this level is going to stand out, is going to do something that makes you say, wow. Like something, whether it's, you know, running first to third or hitting a ball 400 feet or throwing it 90 plus, he's going to do something that stands out. So Division I player or a player that's going to be a draftable player in Major League Baseball, at some point that player made you say, wow.
Yeah, no question about it. And it's funny, Sam, bringing up the errors. When we make one error or less, I don't have it in front of me, but I think we're like 25-4, 25-5. I mean, we've been terrific defensively this year, especially in the SEC.
Yeah, we certainly have. We lead the SEC in fielding in league games, and you know, we're fielding almost 980, which you know, for me, 975 is really good. And once you get above 980, and you know, in the league we're 983, which is, that's pretty darn near elite. And we've just made the routine play, and we've had a knack for making some spectacular plays too. But I think it's just our guys growing up a little bit. The game's not going as fast for them as it was last year. Just slowing things down because, you know, we call them soft errors. You know, a ball that you should just make a play on, and for whatever reason you make an error, that's a soft error. It shouldn't happen. And we've really focused on just making the routine play every day in practice, every day before games. If you get there early enough, you see we do individual fundamental work defensively every day before every game.
Don't you agree? Because I talk about this a lot on the broadcast, too. The pitching has been better. The team ERA is fantastic right now at 3.5. But when the pitching's better, the tempo's better, more strikes are being thrown, less wild pitches, less pass balls, less walks, it's going to make the defense better too.
Well, when you're on your toes and you know a ball's coming to you, you're a little bit more ready. When all of a sudden you walk a guy and there's a wild pitch and just the tempo of the game is so slow. Just as a fan, if you're watching, I get restless when I'm watching the Red Sox and the Yankees and all the just the stuff. It's just so long. Come on, let's go. Well, if you're playing defense behind that, you're kind of feeling the same way. And then all of a sudden the ball's hit to you. And, you know, we know you should always be ready, but you're a lot more ready when the ball's in the strike zone, the tempo's really good, the game's going fast, everybody's moving, everybody's involved. And, yeah, I think there's no question that has a lot to do with our defense playing well.
Talking with Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland.
Now, Coach, looking at this weekend, just you know, another tough trip in the SEC. You'll be going to Ole Miss, take on the Ole Miss Rebels there. And this is a team that Dave mentioned earlier has 30 wins. So they're one of these squads that is just one of the part of the murderer's row of the SEC. And you guys have obviously been doing very well in the conference. You have a very good record at this point, but it almost seems like even though you've had a tough schedule up to this point, it's about to get even tougher.
Yeah, no question. Ole Miss, I think they're number 5 in the RPI. They're ranked in the top 10. I think they're one of the elite teams in the country. And they had to go through what we went through last year a little bit. They had a lot of growing pains. They had a lot of freshmen that played for them last year, and those guys are now sophomores. They do have a very good junior and senior class. So they've got a lot of depth. They've got experience. And they're really talented and they're well coached. So really good team, tough atmosphere to play in. There's going to be 8,000 to 10,000 people there. And the folks in Oxford in the outfield, they have fun. And we're just embracing it. We just told our guys, hey, this is going to be a lot of fun. Embrace it, enjoy it, and let's go try to win a series.
What makes them so good? I mean, I know they're hitting .306 as a team. Their starting pitching is pretty solid. One thing that kind of jumps out is they got two different relievers with 6 saves each. What is it about Ole Miss that's made them so good this year?
Well, I think what you just said, a little bit of everything. They're fielding defensively. They're really good overall. I think they're 980. So overall, they're a little bit better. Us in the league, we're a tad better. But overall, they're a little bit better than us defensively. Their lineup 1 through 9 is very good. It's a very similar lineup to Kentucky. There's just no break. There's never a guy where Coach Kenny goes, oh, okay, I got this guy up now. It's every single guy is very good. And, you know, pitching-wise, they've got 3 starters. And number one guy, Ryan Rollison, has a chance to be the top pick in the draft. Could be 1-1. He's that good. And they've got Etheridge. They've got Carisi. They've got Wilfork out of the bullpen. So it's there's never a break anywhere in the lineup, on the pitching staff, in the bullpen. They just are very well-rounded, good baseball team.
Talking with Scott Strickland, Georgia baseball coach. I wanted to ask you, we had a couple of people want to know your opinion on the shift, which has become more and more prevalent over the last few years. Now, the shift itself, as you very well know, teams shifted on Ted Williams. So, I mean, we're going way back with that. But it's obviously become more and more prevalent. And someone said during the TV broadcast that I was trying to remember who was calling the game.
Todd Walker and I were talking about it.
Yeah, and someone said he was like kind of down on it and calling it a fad, which is kind of interesting. This is a guy that played in the big leagues for over 10 years, but it's definitely not a fad. What is it when you guys are putting a game plan together on somebody? And I'm assuming, man, you don't have to say this, but Ole Miss's first baseman Cole Zabowski, we may shift on him. But how do you guys put that together? And when y'all are putting the scouting report together?
Well, we have spray charts for all the games and all the at-bats that they've had this year and even last year, so we can go back and look at just where they hit the ball. We have record of every single at-bat that these guys have had, that our opponents have. Now, we watch games too. I'll watch 3 more games today and probably watch 2 or 3 more on the bus, so by the time we play Ole Miss, collectively our staff, we've probably watched 15 to 20 games, and we have all those games charted too. And we'll sit down probably tomorrow morning, not tonight, as a staff in the hotel, and just go over every single player and decide where we're going to play them. And when you watch a swing like Seth Beer, I mean, that's a really good example. You watch Seth. Seth is not trying to hit the ball the other way. He is pulling. He is going to swing and try to get the barrel out front. The only way that he hits a ground ball to third base is if he hits it off the very, very end and caps it and hits that spinner. And if you remember a few years, A.J. Reed did that one time where he swing as hard as he can to try to hit it to the greenhouse, and he caps it off the end, and it's like a swinging bunt. So that's the time that you can get burned on the shift. But other than that, the only way that we're going to shift over is if that guy's swing path does not allow him to hit a ground ball to third base. And, you know, the Collette kid from Kentucky, it was literally physically impossible for him to, on purpose, hit a ground ball to third base the way he swings. Now, it's funny you bring up Zabowski. He's got some balls that he hits to third base. He lets some balls get some deep on him. And you know, watching the Vanderbilt series, he actually hit 2 balls to third base. So he's a guy that we're not going to shift on at third base. We'll move over a little bit into the four hole at the second baseman. The shortstop will move over to the middle. But you got to keep your third baseman a little bit at home there. So it depends on what we've seen on video, their swing path, and also the spray charts and their history of where they've hit the baseball.
Interesting. Now, one other thing I wanted to ask you, the way we're doing the shift now is we move Talley out into shallow right and move Shepard over to basically where Talley would play as a second baseman, and move Shunk to where Shepard would play at short. You did do it where you would put Shunk out in shallow right, if I remember correctly, where the third, you would just put the third baseman out in shallow right. So what is the thinking on how you like to position each player when you do the shift?
Well, we actually started that way back with Hunter Cole. When Hunter Cole came in to play third base for us, we wanted to make sure that we didn't move so many guys out of position and make 3 guys uncomfortable. So we decided, you know what? Let's keep our shortstop and second baseman where they are. That's where they play, and then we'll put Hunter Cole out in second, you know, deep second base. So you've only got 1 of the 3 guys that's kind of out of their normal position. Aaron Shunk played shortstop all his life, and he could play shortstop for us right now if something happened to Cam. So he's comfortable at short. Cam's comfortable at second. So it's more of just a comfort level. You saw Clemson, actually, when they shifted on Keegan, they moved their third baseman out to right field.
Right.
They moved Cromwell out there. So it's more of just a preference, but for us, we just feel like it's more of your third baseman if he's able to be comfortable at shortstop and is athletic enough to play shortstop, you make that move and just shift everybody over a little bit to the left.
It's funny, too, because I brought up Ted Williams, and I think I remember reading where he had said it was his dilemma about, you know, he could bunt for a base hit and get on base, but he preferred to just basically try to, you know, swing into the shift or swing over the shift, which some guys can do. But I like what you said because I hadn't thought about you guys have so much statistical evidence on swing and spray charts and all that stuff that you're shifting on a guy that you basically just don't think can, if in his swing, hit to the left side, but you'll give up the bunt. Plus, you're also, if they're bunting, you're in their head too. So, I mean, it's got a lot of different things.
Yeah, there's no question. And, you know, the guy that we did it a lot to for the last 4 years for South Carolina was Destino, the left-handed hitter, you know, big, strong left-handed hitter that, you know, can hit the ball 500 feet. And every single series for 4 years, he would square up to try to bunt. And he finally got one on us last year. But I always just to myself internally would you know, kind of chuckle a little bit because here's this big, strong guy that's never bunted in his life. When he was in Little League, he did not bunt, I promise you. And the guy's never bunted, and now all of a sudden he's trying to bunt, and he's not comfortable doing it. So I almost feel like we've taken them out of their game a little bit when all of a sudden they try to bunt and square up. Now, if you come early enough, you'll see that Keegan McGovern practices his bunting. He's a pretty good bunter. So teams are now starting to shift a little bit more on him. You're going to see Keegan do it at some point. And I told him the other night when Clemson did the full-out shift on him, it was 6-1, probably wasn't the right time to do it. But I said, you know what? If you don't ever bunt, then teams are going to continue to do this. Once you lay down that one bunt, now teams got to make a decision whether or not they're going to give it to you. So, you know, a good time to do it. Let's just say, and it's the eighth inning, and Keegan's leading off, and you're down by two runs. You need a base runner.
Yep.
So that's a good time to do it. If they're going to shift, but again, the dilemma is you're a four-hole, three-hole type hitter, and you lay a bunt down and you bunt it right back to the pitcher. And so that's the dilemma with the hitter is, gosh, I don't want to waste an at-bat when I could hit a double or a home run, and I just bunted it back to the pitcher. So it's a dilemma for the fielders. It's a dilemma for the hitters as well.
Talking with Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland.
Coach, this is more of a personal curiosity question with the Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. It seems like you guys have had more of them this year, and maybe that's just my perception. But what are your thoughts on those Thursday, Friday, Saturdays? Are you in favor of them, or is it more one of those things where it kind of messes up the rhythm?
Well, you know, on the front side, it's tough. If you play a Tuesday game, you've only got one day off. Actually, you don't have a day off because if you go on the road, you're traveling that day. We'll do that when we go to Missouri next week or in 2 weeks. So it's tough because you, on the front side, you don't have as many days off. On the back side, it's good. And it's actually worked to our advantage a little bit on the back side. We've played Clemson and Georgia Tech coming off a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. So now all of a sudden we have an extra day of rest. We get an extra day of practice before we play those teams. I think it's good for our game because we get the television coverage for the national game on Thursday night when you do that. So there's good and bad. You know, our pitchers in the rotation, they're already getting a full week off. You know, Chase Atkins on Friday, if he's going Friday to Friday, he's got 6 full days off in between. In professional baseball, you get 4 days off in between. So, you know, it's going one day earlier doesn't really affect the pitchers. It takes them off the routine a little. But I think it's good overall because it gives us more coverage for our game, puts us on TV a little bit more, and on the backside of it, you get an advantage, get an extra day.
And pitching rotation, you said Tuesday will still be the same for this weekend?
Yes, yeah. Chase will go on Friday, and hopefully it's Emerson Saturday, Ryan Sunday. But, man, look at the forecast again. The Sunday Blues are coming in again. It looks like we might be playing 2 on Saturday.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, too. So that's a possibility coming up this weekend.
Yeah, I've talked to Coach Bianco a little bit, but actually not about the weather. We'll see. But that's the way it looks. And these are not SEC Network or ESPNU games, so we don't have that where we have to really consider staying on Sunday. Like last weekend, we had to have extra discussion because that game was on the ESPN or SEC Network on Sunday. worked out pretty good. They ended up just replaying our game from the night before, so we still got the coverage on Sunday. But yeah, it's just a regular stream game on the internet, so we don't have to worry about that.
Well, I'll tell you this. We're at the halfway point of the season as far as conference play goes, and everyone has played 15 games, and I'm glad that that wouldn't be the case under the old TV provisions there about having to wait for games. So I'm glad at least you, the coaches, or the ADs, or whoever, have been able to get TV people to realize that you don't have to sit around and wait for a first pitch time, especially if it's going to rain anyway, you're not going to get the game in. So I'm glad everybody's been able to play all their games so far this year.
Yeah, Herb Benson is our representative in the SEC, and Herb is great to work with. And you know, when I had discussions with Herb on Thursday going into last weekend, we talked about the rain, we talked about TV, and you know, ultimately he said our goal is to make sure that you play your games, and that needs to be our priority. That's going to be our priority. So if Sunday looks that bad, let's keep talking about it, and if we need to move it, we'll move it. So I think the SEC did a great job with it, and everyone communicated. We're all on the same page.
Although, tell me this before we let you go. There were two Sunday games that started at 5 o'clock Eastern. Are we creeping up into a bad TV window for Sunday evening games?
Well, when they send out the schedule, they send us a schedule in January, the tentative TV schedule. And if there are any issues, they have the teams speak up. So what happened, I think the last one that I can remember, I think Arkansas and Auburn played at 5 o'clock. And Auburn was the visiting team, but they were chartering their flight. So they got done playing at 8 o'clock. They're on their flight by 9 o'clock. They're back in Auburn, Alabama by 10:30. So we had a game scheduled. That Saturday game with Vanderbilt, when it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it was originally scheduled for 7 o'clock. And I said, hey, that's our getaway day, and we're busing. So we're going to get home at 5 in the morning. So we had that game changed, and the SEC was fine with it. But they give us the schedule ahead of time. They give us a little bit of an opportunity to give feedback. So I'm sure with Auburn and Arkansas, there was discussion there. But, hey, we're chartering our flight. So when we get done with this game, we're still going to get back at 10 or 10:30, so let's do it.
I just thought, you know, and I don't know if Tennessee was at LSU this weekend. I guess when the Eastern time zone teams get that late one, it's tough. And Tennessee had a rough ninth inning, obviously, in that last game there against LSU. And then they had the late first pitch time. I wasn't quite sure why they were playing that game so late, but you know, like you said,
it makes it tough. And I'm sure Tennessee, I mean, obviously Tennessee was flying, and I'm sure they had a charter flight too. So when you have a charter flight, you know, it's nice. You get on that plane and you fly right into your town, and you know, the guys are back in their dorm rooms before you know it. So I'm sure there was discussion leading up to that, but you know, being the only game on TV, it has its advantages as well. So you know, there's conversation. The SEC has not flat out said you have to play at this time. They've given us some opportunities for feedback, so it's worked out well, I think.
Good stuff, Coach. Always great talking to you. Again, congratulations on the win over the Clemson Tigers. That never gets old, getting the sweep, and best of luck this weekend. This hostile crowd in Ole Miss, I know the players are fired up for it. I know they're looking forward to it. I know you are as well, and so are we, and we'll see you out in Oxford this weekend.
Okay, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.